up, Wake? We are back. I'm excited to be here again. My name is Austin Mankin, and I am excited to kick off a new series, as you saw in that bumper, called What's the Point? What's the point? Everyone say on the count of three, what's the point? Ready? One, two, three. What's the point? Right? That's the new series we're going through. What we're going to be talking about, which I'm really excited to start, we're going to be talking about all these Christian activities that we can get involved in at times. As a teenager, it can be tempting to get involved in activities like small group, like reading God's word, prayer, going to church. We get involved in these things and we never stop to ask ourselves, why? Why do we get involved in these things? What's the point of these things? And if we get involved in these things, sometimes we can tend to not understand the reason, and then we can become confused. We miss out on the benefit of it, and we get exhausted. We get tired of doing the things because we don't know the reason why we do them. So we're going to be talking about some of the reasons why we do these Christian activities, that stuff we hear from stage a lot, like reading your Bible and going to small group. What do those mean, and why are they important? And so I want to start with a question. I want everyone to think about this to yourself. The question is, why are you here? Why are you here? Not just like on earth, but literally, why are you sitting in that chair? Like, because it's a lot of energy to get here. And you could be doing a lot of different things. You could be at home playing video games. You could be literally eating donuts, sleeping in. You could be doing that. But it takes a lot of energy to get through the parking lot, to walk up those stairs, to wake up, and to come to Wake on Sundays. Why are you here? Think about that. Do you understand the purpose? Because if you don't, then this just becomes an obligation that your parents drag you here, an expectation that you have to be here, and it just becomes exhausting. And honestly, it can become boring. And so I want to talk today about why are you here? What is the purpose of being at church? What is the purpose of church, and why is it important? Before we do that, I want to introduce you guys to one of my friends, all right? I brought him. He's a little shy, all right? But I brought him because we become best friends. I wanted to share him with you guys because he's amazing, all right? I'm going to introduce it to him. Here is my friend, Stuart, all right? This is Stu. Everyone say, hi, Stuart.
Hi, Stuart.
All right, Stuart grew up in PetSmart, had a long story. I've known him for a grand total of 2 days. Stuart and I have become great friends. And one thing that I've done with Stuart is I've brought Stuart everywhere. Like, I've brought Stuart to restaurants I've ate at. I brought Stuart, like, in the car, drove here, brought Stuart with me. I can bring Stuart, honestly, anywhere. I can bring him over here. I can set him down. I can give him to someone in the front row. No, I'm sorry, I'm not going to give him to you. It's mine, Stuart. I'm going to bring him over here. I can put him right here. But here's the thing you got to know about Stuart, guys. You got to know about Stuart. The one place that Stuart can't go is outside that water, right? Like, if Stuart came outside this water, he wouldn't last long. Right? Because the environment that he was created to live in, he was created for, was the water. The water is the oxygen that gives him breath to live. If I tried to pull Stuart out and was like, hey, you don't need this water anymore, he wouldn't last long. It would not be pretty. And that's what I want you guys to understand about church. Church is the environment that you guys were created to live. Like, God has created church in order for a healthy believer to grow. That a church is the oxygen of a healthy Christian, a healthy believer. The church is the oxygen for a healthy believer. And so imagine, I'm sure Stuart has one point in his life been like, hey, what would life look like outside of this jar? So I was like, hey, why not? Let's give it a try. Who wants to see Stuart outside of this jar? So I'm going to do, like, should I take him outside this jar? What do you guys think? Should I do it? Yes or no? Raise your hand. Up or down? Up or down? All right, I'm seeing a lot. I'm going to do it, okay? Why not? So what I'm going to do is get Stuart and bring him out. Let me get him. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm sorry. I already tried to do that. This is actually Stuart number two. Stuart number one didn't make. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. I promise I'm not going to do that. You know why? Because we know where that's going to go. Stuart is going to flop on the table. He's going to, you know, his gills are going to be moving. He's going to flop. Maybe someone from the front row jumps and tries to save Stuart and puts him back in the water. He's just not going to last long. And I'm sure at one point in Stuart's life, he's probably been like, man, this jar, it's pretty constricting. Like, it's crowded in here. I want out. And I think that's a lot of times how we can view church. It's crowded in here. It's constricting. We went out. We went out of this water just like Stuart. We don't want to go to church. It's boring. And it's because we don't know the purpose of it. And like just like Stuart, he was created for the environment of that water. We are created for the environment of church. And so what is the church? And that's what we're going to talk about today. What is the church? We're going to have three quick points to talk through about the purpose of church. And here's what I want to do. I want to share this one stat with you guys because I think it'll really give you a good vision of why we need to talk about this. 66% of students who grew up in a Christian home leave their faith when they get to college. That's over half. That's two-thirds of people leave their faith when they get to college. I believe one of the main reasons they do that is because they were never connected to a strong church. They weren't living in the environment that God has called them to live. And that's why that stat is so crazy. And so we need to talk about what a church is and what is the purpose of it. So if you're taking notes, the first purpose of a church is to connect with God's people. Connect with God's people. So I think a lot of people, when they say church, we're going to define it really quick. When they think about church, they think about like a building we go to. We wake up on Sunday morning. It's this amazing event that we go to. You know, there's D-Town, there's Wake Retreat. We go to these things. We go to these services, and we think church is just a building. But an event, it's not an event. Like if you look throughout the New Testament, you'll see that a church is a gathering of people. It's a gathering of God's people. It's not just a place you go, but it's a people. Let's say that again, a church is a people, it's not a place. That you don't just go to church. You hear that, well, you hear us say this a lot. You are the church. The church is a people. So I want you to imagine this. What this means is, hey, if you ask me my favorite sports team, and I was like, I responded, and I was like, man, I love watching the Cowboys Stadium play. It's a great team. It's my favorite team. I love just turn on the TV and watch an American Airlines Center play. That makes zero sense, right? Because a team is not a building. And just like that, a church is not a building. A church is a people. A team is created of people. A church is created with people. So therefore, we have to understand that we are the church. We are gathered together at church, and we are a people. We are a people. And so in Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus is addressing one of his disciples. And here's what he says about the church. He says, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it." And so what he's saying is, hey, the church is unstoppable. Like the church is God's plan A. It's God's purpose. And it cannot be defended. It cannot be stopped. It cannot be stopped. The church cannot be stopped. Why? Because it's not a building. It's a people. It's a group of people. And one of the main illustrations of the church throughout the Bible, it's used three times. It's referred to as a body of believers. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:27. "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." You are the body of Christ. Body, meaning hands, feet, eyes, the body of Christ. You are a part of it. So what this verse is saying is that you are part of God's church, and you have a part to play in the church. That all of you are a part of God's church, and you have been uniquely designed with certain gifts that other people don't have in order to serve the church, in order to serve other people. You are a part of God's church. You, because you are a person and have a part to play in the church. That's why it's important that you are here, because the church is valuable when the people are working together. It's a body. There's a lot of different body parts on our body, but it works together to form one body that functions like a body. And so I want to illustrate this in one point, okay? So I want everyone to hold up their hands. Hold up the hands way high. Wiggle your fingers. There we go. All right, I want you to look at your fingers, all right? So you look at your fingers, and I'm gonna pose this question, all right? If you had to cut off one finger, what finger would that be, all right? I want you to, hold on, I'll give you 5 seconds. Think about it. I want you to whisper to your neighbor, what finger are you cutting off, all right? Think about it. A lot of your fingers have a purpose. Which one are you cutting off? All right. Raise your hand if you picked pinky. Right? Why not? Pinky. Pretty useless, right? Small finger. Doesn't do much. Listen to this right here. According to the National Rehabilitation Hospital in Washington, you would lose 50% of your hand strength if you cut off your pinky. 50% of your hand strength if you cut off your pinky. That's crazy, right? That's crazy. Hey, come back with me real quick. Come back with me. I want to tell you why. Why? Because the pinky is essential to the strength of the hand. And I think a lot of times teenagers can believe that they're not essential to the church. They can believe, hey, I'm just a pinky. I don't have a lot of purpose. In reality, since you are a people, you have a purpose for the church, that you have unique gifts in order to serve the church. Here's what verse 17 says in 1 Corinthians 17, or 12, 17. If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? So what that's saying is, like the church, the people can't be made up of just one person. There's multiple people working together with different gifts in order to function properly. Imagine if that pinky got cut off and it was just sitting over here on the side. Like that pinky wouldn't last long, right? Pinky would die off because it's not connected to people. And God has intended us for us to be connected to people, to grow with people, to be around people. It's the environment with which we were intended to grow. It's where healthy Christians grow. So we are supposed to be connected with God's people. Number two, the purpose of the church is communion with God. Communion with God. There's power when believers get together and they worship God and they understand the value of God. Like there's power in that. When you guys come to this wake service every week and you remind yourself of the value you have in Christ, there's power there and there's strength there. Like we have to remind ourselves because we are forgetful. We forget things that are valuable. And so I read this story recently about a young man named Stefan from San Francisco. I'll throw his picture on the screen. This is Stefan, San Francisco. 10 years ago, Stefan invested in this cryptocurrency called Bitcoin. All right, you've probably heard of it. 10 years ago, all right, he put a small sum of money in. He's really smart. He got in at the right time. And what happened over time is Stefan saw his money grow and grow and grow and grow. And to this day, Stefan has made $400 million off Bitcoin. That's a lot of money, right? That's a lot of money. But here's the thing. This is why I share it. The unfortunate thing about Stefan is that his money is locked away in a digital hard drive. And the only way that he can access it is through a password. All right? It's only through a password. But here's the thing about Stefan. We know where this is going, right? He forgot the password. His story, you can look it up online. He wrote the password on a sheet of paper, left it in his room, and forgot about it, and has never remembered the password since. And he is not able to access all that money. Why? Because he forgot. He literally forgot the password. It's a true story. It is a true story. And the reason, when he got interviewed, here's what he said. I want you guys to understand what he said. Here's what he said. You sort of question your own self-worth. What kind of person forgets something that important? I thought that was a powerful statement. What kind of person forgets something that important? Because I don't care whatever it is, if you're not reminded of something that's valuable, you're gonna forget. And that's the purpose of church. When we're coming and gathering and singing songs and reminding each other of what's valuable. And just like that password was valuable, man, the value of Christ is way more valuable. And when you walk in these doors and you remind yourself of that, it's so important. Like, think back to the decisions that you've made in your life. Think back to the regrets you have or decisions you've made or things that you said that you want to take back, maybe scars in your life that you wish didn't happen. A lot of those can be tied to the fact that we forgot the goodness of God, that we didn't remind ourselves of the goodness of God. And what church does is it's an opportunity for Christians to gather and remind themselves of the goodness of God so we don't forget something that's so, so valuable. It's powerful when we remind ourselves of what we are in Christ and whose we are in Christ. And so Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And so the book of Hebrews was written to a group of people that were discouraged, that had neglected gathering together. They were discouraged in their faith, and they were starting to give up. And what the author is saying is that you need to continually remind each other of the value of Christ. Encourage one another. Spur each other on. Challenge one another. gather together as other Christians to remind each other of what your value is. And that's what we're supposed to do when we come to church, to commune with God, to understand who he is, and to remind ourselves of truth. It's powerful. And I always think about, when I read this verse, I think about the illustration. Who in here has ever played sports or watched sports, right? Most people, okay? One of the things you notice about sports is that every successful team has a huddle, right? Like, either you watch sports or you've played sports. Every successful team has a huddle. And the purpose of that huddle is that the quarterback or the coach would get everyone together. They'd get everyone together in a circle, and they go, all right, here's the play, right? They give them instruction, and they give encouragement. And everyone in that huddle would know exactly their role. The coach would be like, hey, here's what offense you're running. Here's what defense you're running. Here's what we're all going to do. And therefore, they could break the huddle, go out, and everyone could do their job. Everyone has a role. And that's what we are doing right now. Like, we're reminded of the play that we have as God's people to go out, break the huddle, and then go share the love of Christ with everyone else. But we have to know the offense. We have to be reminded of the offense or we're going to forget. Imagine if that huddle, it was never a huddle. Or the coach never told them what to do. Like, that would be chaos, confusion. No one would know what to do. There would be no unity. And that's the purpose of being here, that we would unify in order to break the huddle and go live out how God's called us to live. And so the purpose of church is communion with God. The last purpose, as we close, I want you guys to understand, the last purpose of why we're here is a call to action. It's a call to action. Here's what it says in John 13:35, verse 36. This is Jesus telling his disciples. Jesus just got done doing the greatest act of service that he's ever done. He got on his hands and knees and he washed the disciples' feet. Literally, he's not just a leader. He showed that he was a servant and he washed the disciples' feet. And here's what he says to the disciples. He says, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. He goes, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Notice, he didn't say a new suggestion I give to you, a new option I give to you, a new opinion I give to you. He says a new command, meaning he wants us to pay attention. And here's how we identify ourselves as a church. He didn't say we identify ourselves as a church as our building, as the events we go to, as the shirts we wear. He says the way you identify the people of God is by their love. Their love. The church is meant to display the love of God. So my question for you guys is, what are you known for? Like, a lot of you guys are known for the sports you play or the people you know or the school you go to, but what are you known for? How are you identified? Are you identified as the person who gossips? The person that tears others down? Are you known as the person who serves others, who sacrifices, who sees a need and meets that need? That's how we're supposed to be known as Christians. And so a lot of companies will have a logo that identifies them as, right? Like a lot of, like In-N-Out Burger, we all can see the logo and know, hey, this is In-N-Out Burger. All right, so I'm going to throw a couple logos on screen. I want to see if you guys can guess what logo is this company, all right? Let's get the first one going. What is that? Gosh, I didn't have to say it. Wait, Whataburger or In-N-Out? Who are we at? Whataburger or In-N-Out? Whataburger? Come on. Whataburger's got more options. Honey butter chicken biscuit. All right, let's see the next one. Xbox. Easy, right? I didn't even have to put the name down there. You guys knew what it was. All right, next one. You guys, this is so easy. 3 for 3. Hold on. All right, that's Adidas. Let's see if we can get this last one. What do we got? Literally so easy. I didn't even have to put the name on there, right? It was so easy. Why? Because we know the logo. That's what the brand is identified as. It has a logo. And guys, here's what I want you guys to understand as we close. Listen to this. That as Christians, hey, love is our logo. Love is the logo of a Christian. That the way we are identified as a church is by love. And therefore, we need to love each other and then go out and show the world what Christ did for us by serving us, by going to a cross, by being beaten, bruised, and then nailed to a cross, died, and then he was raised on the third day to give us power over sin and death. That is a story we have an opportunity to go share. But it first starts with us. We need to start loving each other. to encouraging each other, to spurring each other on towards love and good works, as the Bible says. That's the purpose of the church. It's a call to action, to gather, and then to go out and share what we know to be true with other people. I love what Acts 2 says about the early church. It says, they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in the homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Man, that is the purpose of the church. That is a picture of the church, that everyone saw the needs of everyone else and met those needs. They served everyone else. They loved each other. They sacrificed, and they encouraged each other. And you guys right now are part of the Gen Z culture, Generation Z. And they're not identified right now as being loved. They're not identified as sharing the love of Christ. They're identified as being lost, being anxious and depressed and broken. And we have an opportunity each day to encounter people who don't know the hope that we have, and to remind people and then to just share it with them. That's our opportunity as a church. It's our call to action. And so to summarize all this as we close, the point of the church is something you hear every single week that you're here. The point of the church is a great mission statement to help you guys be known and accepted, taught about Jesus, and challenged to grow. To be known and accepted, to not be apart from a body, to be connected. Like just like my man Stuart can't be apart from this water, we can't be apart from God's people. We're not going to last long. And then to be taught about Jesus, a man who humbly served his people and shared the love of what he did with others. And then challenge to grow, to not just come here and to consume, but look at the example of your small group leaders. What have they done? They're not on a church staff, but they use their gifts in order to serve you guys. And that's what you can do, to come join us and serve us using your gifts that God has given you, unique to you, and come join us and serve, all right? To known and accepted, to be taught about Jesus, and to be challenged to grow. That is our purpose, all right? As we close, I'm gonna pray, and then I hope we're reminded of that purpose for us. Lord, thank you that you've given us the opportunity to be your people. I pray that as we go out, we would be identified by the love that we share with others, and that we'd share that love with others. We wouldn't just come to be served, but to serve as Christ demonstrated on our behalf. So I pray that that power and that strength that we're reminded of, the value we have in Christ, will compel us to go live like we mean it and live like we believe it. Lord, we love you and thank you for this place. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, y'all, you have a great week of worship.